The 20th anniversary edition of The Christmas Alphabet, Robert Sabuda's classic pop-up title that was his first New York Times bestseller, has just been released. As part of the rollout of the title, he'll be appearing at a special event sponsored by Oblong Books and Music during the Rhinebeck Sinterklaas Festival on December 6th in Rhinebeck. Sabuda will be at Oblong Books and Music at 4 o'clock on the 6th, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Robert Sabuda to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. Always very nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Nice to speak with you again. The 20th anniversary of The Christmas Alphabet, and what does that mean to you?
Wow, what does that mean to me? It means to me that I hope within the last 20 years I've gotten even better than when I first started. But what's really nice about it is the fact that, you know, a book can have a life, really, in the 21st century that lasts 20 years and beyond that. I still continue to be amazed by the support for that particular book.
When we talk about pop-up books, you really changed the way that we think of pop-up books and what was possible with pop-up books. What was the initial idea? How did you want to go about this? Was there a game plan?
Well, I would love to be able to say yes. I had it all. It was like a game of chess and all planned out from beginning to end. But of course, like so much in life, nothing could be further from the truth. I had been illustrating children's two-dimensional picture books, and I've been working with paper a lot. I'd been doing cut paper collage and paper mosaic and paper batik, and I have a passion for paper, the object, as an art tool. So I thought, how can I create a book in three dimension using paper? And when I was a boy, I had loved pop-up books. So I thought, you know what, why don't you try making a pop-up book? And I taught myself how to make all of, you know, the paper engineering and all the designs to bring the Christmas alphabet together. And I love Christmas, so that's why the Christmas alphabet.
When you talk about the engineering and the design, doing it is one thing, doing one version of it. But to mass produce it and to get it into our hands so all of the books are alike and to have them work, what goes into that?
Believe it or not, and I'm still surprised that people are amazed when they hear this, all pop-up books are still made by hand. Somebody folds and glues every single piece of every single part of a pop-up and every single pop-up book that's ever been made. And honestly, I can't imagine that changing at all in the foreseeable future because, you know, the connection between our mind, our brain, and our hands is so acute, and we're great problem solvers that way. And pop-up books, as you just mentioned, are very complex. Mine in particular are very complicated. So no machine would ever be able to do that kind of complex work to make all those little teeny things come together.
So with that hands-on approach to it, there's several ways of asking this question. I'll ask it in the easiest way I know how, which is, that seems like a lot could then go wrong.
Yes, that does seem like a lot could go wrong. And I have to tell you, on occasions, things certainly do go wrong. The goal is to try to minimize the amount of times that actually happens. But, you know, like anything in life, anything that's built, you know, by hand, there are challenges, especially, well, what's a challenge? So I'm working with paper, but the paper is moving, so there are issues of strength and, believe it or not, like velocity. When a page opens and closes, even if it's a simple pop-up, there's velocity when things are moving, and so there's strength that has to be considered, and there's flexibility that has to be considered. So there are many different areas that have to be addressed to make sure everything functions exactly the way I would like it to. And sometimes things do go wrong, but I'm still amazed at how often things really work out. I don't know whether that's a credit to me designing it really well, which I'd like to hope, or to the hand assemblers putting it together exactly the way I've asked them to.
Especially with this book, The Christmas Alphabet, what made it so beautiful, I think, is the simplicity, the fact that you were using white paper. Everything, whether it be a Yule log or a ribbon, it is white paper.
Yes, I think, you know, when you're a young artist, I guess I should only speak for myself. As a young artist, there's a certain amount of naivete. Like, I thought it looked beautiful. You know, I thought, oh, these pop-ups look just great in simple white, as you said, with some colored backgrounds. And it doesn't need anything else. It doesn't need a lot of illustration. It doesn't need a lot of other stuff on it. And so for my young artist mind, that was a great way to go. But my publisher, I only found this out afterwards, they loved it, but they were so afraid that the public was not going to embrace it because of just what you just said. All the pop-ups were white. Like, what is this? How would there never been a pop-up book where everything was just white before? And so there was some real, you know, chewing their nails behind the scenes that they didn't share with me before the book was published 20 years ago to see if it was going to work, if the public would embrace that. And fortunately, they did, to the credit of the reading public.
For people who may not be familiar with or have forgotten, the Christmas alphabet features all 26 letters, and each letter has its own pop-up and its own pane to open, and then there is an object that starts with that letter. So you want a wow factor for every time you open, whether it be B or L or T.
The wow factor is actually a good way to put it, especially with pop-ups, because there's really that magical moment of turning the page, and you know, you're physically turning the page. It's not like an electronic device. You're physically turning the page, and the magic, you know, reveals itself as you're turning the page. And I find that activity very engaging, you know, as a reader, and I find that people who read my books feel the same way. Now, why I chose a book that had 26 pop-ups in it for my first book, when I didn't know what I was doing, I have no idea why I would do something like that. But it definitely paid off, because I also have a lot of librarians and teachers who will come to my signings and tell me, oh, this is a great book for story time with our really young readers, because it has, you know, the letter on the front of the pane, and then when you open it, you know, and then the children kind of sometimes guess what's going to be on the inside. And then when you open it up, you can see the pop-up, and kids love that it's white. They don't need any bells and whistles on it either, and then there's just the simple words. So all those elements did really happen to come together at a great time for the Christmas alphabet.
Pop-ups I have always found fascinating, because, and I know we've talked about this in the past, the audience is interesting, because we think of this as being for children, as you mentioned, librarians using these in various educational settings. But you watch with younger children that there is the amazement of opening up and seeing that the popping, that wow factor, and then very quickly the child's hand immediately going to destroy it. It's and librarians, I know, will tell you that pop-up books don't last very long.
They don't last. You know, that's a really good point. Well, there's a couple of things that, you know, in the beginning, again, we're talking about the 20th anniversary of Christmas Alphabet, so this is quite some time ago. At that early date, it was rare for me to meet a librarian who would say, I would circulate any of your books, you know, this book, in my collection, because the kids are just going to tear it apart. Fast forward now, 20 years later, it's 2014, librarians come up to me and they say, oh, we have all your pop-up books. And each librarian does something different. One will say, we take your book, we put it into a big Ziploc bag with a note that says, you got this book in good condition, and it's a special book. So when you return it, we expect it to be in the same shape. And I have other librarians who say, well, we put it behind a counter. So we have special students who come in who we know can handle it well, and then they can enjoy it, and they give it back to us, you know, in good condition. And I also think one more thing I want to mention. I think it gives parents or guardians or whoever, family members, the opportunity to show a child that a book can be a special object. So I've seen grandparents with grandkids or parents with kids carefully going through the book and saying to the young reader, now we have to be careful with this, you know, this is delicate, and oh, right, look at how it opens. And so there's that great sharing that goes back and forth between the two of them.
It was a very ambitious project, as you mentioned, for 26 pop-ups. But over that time, you have done outrageous, incredible things over the past 20 years that has certainly have been much more ambitious and a much grander scale. So what kind of confidence did the first book give you and allow you to achieve in this?
Wow. You know what? There's nothing greater, I think, for most artists, especially artists who are working in something complex or trying to make something complex, that satisfaction and gratification of seeing it actually happen, actually coming together, definitely builds strength and character to continue in that field. Like, if that book had been, you know, an utter failure or had not been embraced, nobody had wanted to read it, I don't know that I would have continued to go on making the books that I made. A, because the public may not have wanted them, and B, I don't know if I would have had the confidence. You know, artists are just as insecure as everyone else is, but Christmas Alphabet really made me realize, no, you know what? You can do this, and you can push these horizons and push these boundaries and barriers to see if you can go to these new places. And you know what? If you can't get there, at least you can say that you tried. But if you try and you do get there, it was worth all the effort.
What are you working on now?
Right now, I'm working on a pop-up book of the White House. I had this huge request to work on a White House book, a White House pop-up book. So I'm working on the White House right now, and I'm also launching my number one request, especially my website, has been for pop-up wedding invitations. So Robert Sabuda Wedding will launch in spring of 2015.
Oh, that's cool. And as far as the White House, does that get you into the White House?
That, you know what, you would think it would, right? There's some special privileges in the White
House. They're letting anybody in here lately.
That's right. Just get in line with everybody else. But you know what? That's one of the great things. I will say this, for an artist's point of view, of the internet. You know, as an artist, we can get so many visual reference points for things that really exist. You know, the White House is obviously a historical building. There's so many different angles and so many things I can see from it. I almost feel like I'm there, you know, without even being there. So I'm lucky in that sense.
Well, Robert Sabuda will be celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Christmas Alphabet as part of Rhinebeck's Sinterklaas Festival, December 6th, Saturday, in Rhinebeck, and he'll be at Oblong Books and Music at 4 o'clock on the 6th for a signing of his books. And again, you can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com, oblongbooks.com. Robert Sabuda, it's a great pleasure to speak with you. Have a wonderful holiday season, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You too. Have a good holiday.
Very nice to have you with us. Again, The Christmas Alphabet is Robert Sabuda's classic pop-up title. He will be at Oblong Books and Music as part of Rhinebeck's Sinterklaas Festival on December 6th. You can find out more information by going to oblongbooks.com, oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.